so you explain, this explains the odd nature of the order here. We want to talk about singing, and then we're going to emphasize some of the aspects that we're talking about in the sermon in the songs that Brian has chosen for. And I appreciate him cooperating with me at relatively short notice on these sort of things. Why is it that we sing? Why is it that people of God sing? Well, again, like we've been mentioning in these other sermons, I want to start by emphasizing the idea of why. Because most of the time, and singing is a great example of this. I don't know of a better example with regard to the people of God and the Lord's church and how we distinguish ourselves from the churches of men and such things as that. Why is it that we do what we do? Well, generally speaking, we kind of skip all of that, and we skip right to the what. What is it that we're supposed to be doing? And sometimes preachers will elaborate on the very specific distinctions between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some have suggested that when the word psalm is used in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19, that we're talking about the book of Psalms, as we have it, except set to music, as it was in ancient times, that maybe the church in the first century had taken these psalms and put them to music of their day, perhaps, or at least chanted them or something along those lines, taking God's word literally and putting it into song. And that's what a psalm was. And that a hymn is a word, is a song specifically praising God or praising our Savior. We have many, many examples of that, of course, in our books. But that's more what a hymn is. And when we talk about a spiritual song, that's a song on a spiritual topic, but not necessarily a song of praise, and not necessarily taken directly from the Bible, perhaps one of exhortation or encouragement or training in spiritual matters. I don't know how much of that's true. I don't know how you could possibly prove one way or the other how much of that is true. Clearly, the general point is that we sing songs that glorify God and instruct us in the ways of God and that help us along life's journey toward heaven. And those songs fall into these three general headings. And if we go the rest of our lives and don't know specifically whether Saints Lift Your Voices is a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song, I don't know that anybody's salvation is going to be threatened by that. I think we're going to be okay with that. But in a general sense, at least, this is what we're supposed to be doing. There are all kinds of songs that we sing. Of course, songs that you hear on the radio, songs that you may have learned as a child or whatever. And those are fine songs maybe in their place, but not this place. In this place, we sing spiritual songs. Now, having established that, we move on to the how, typically, and we really get into the how. Because it's very important to us that not only that we do God's things, but also that we do God's things in God's ways. And that's, again, an appropriate consideration. So we talk about instrumental music. In fact, this is oftentimes the very first thing that we talk about with regard to our visitors, those who come from the outside. Maybe some of you are reared in a different tradition than I was, and you may be kind of confused at the idea of worship without the aid of instrumental music. That's the first thing you notice, and that's the first thing you want to talk about. And so we'll have this big old conversation about why it is that we have no instruments of music in our worship. And we explain the meaning of the Greek word solo and the idea of plucking on the heartstrings and such, and historical evidence maybe that the early church did not have instruments of music, and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we'll talk about that. And in having done that, then perhaps we'll move on to talking about how the songs that we sing should be sung enthusiastically. And I'll confess that I spend a fair amount of time talking about this. I don't lead singing as much as I used to, but when I do lead singing, when I have in the past, I look out at the audience, and it's not difficult to tell who is singing enthusiastically and who is kind of muttering under their breath. And you try not to judge too much with regard to that, because not everybody is a boisterous kind of singer. I get that. I'm not trying to point fingers at the person with a smile is going to go to heaven and the person with a frown is going to go to hell. That's not the point. But there is a certain sense in which if we are going to be the people of God, it's appropriate for us to not only sing these songs, but do it with a sense of enthusiasm. Oftentimes, 1 Corinthians 14:15 is taken a bit out of context, I think, and where it says that we're supposed to, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also, that the Spirit is talking about your enthusiasm. Well, I don't think that's what it's talking about, but I'll discuss that another time. Anyway, it's a valid consideration, though, that we need to be enthusiastic about the things that we do, why, how we go about doing it. And I'll confess to being something of an obsessive with regard to the accuracy of the things that we say. There are certain things that we sing in our songs that are of a doctrinal nature or that have their roots in the Bible. And sometimes we're being accurate to the Bible message and sometimes we're not really being all that accurate to the Bible message. If we're going to sing these spiritual songs, then let's sing songs that are true to the Bible. Let's sing songs that are accurate. I'm all in favor of poetic license and things like that. That's fine. But if we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it only makes sense that the words we choose are words that are actually instructive, words that can be understood in the first place, words that are proper, proper enough English where we can understand what the words are and what the meaning is, that sort of thing. And phrased in such a way as to constitute a proper and rational and biblical thought. I don't think that's too much for us to ask, and I think it's a burden we place on song leaders and something they take upon themselves to make sure that the songs we choose are accurate and well thought out. Okay, all that being said, I think that is a valid consideration. I think it's worth spending 7 or 8 minutes on it, as we just did. That being said, it doesn't really touch on why we actually sing. What is it about our worship that compels us to sing? And what I want to talk about here this morning, or this evening, is the fact that we sing because we are children of God. That this is not just a box that we check off because the Lord's Church sang songs in the first century, so we need to sing songs and check, okay, we're good to go. As long as we sing at least one song in our Sunday morning assembly, then we're good to go. I think that's really the wrong way of looking at this. It's not so much a matter of whether we sing or do not sing. It's a matter of who we are as the people of God. Because the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament also, what we see is a compulsion towards singing. We see singing as an expression of a grateful heart that cannot be stopped, that cannot be silenced. It's not a matter of being dragged, kicking and screaming into song worship. It's a matter of us naturally and reflexively singing. This is who we are. This is what we do. We are the children of God. And I want to talk about some specifics here. And then we're going to get into a practical application of these thoughts. Most fundamental of all, we'll talk about James chapter 5, verse number 13, where it says that if any is joyful, let him sing praises. There aren't all that many passages in the Bible that actually talk about music worship. James 5, 13 is one of them. And I love in that expression there, in James chapter 5, where it's not phrased like a commandment, but rather phrased in such a way as to give you an opportunity to express the emotions in your heart. It should be a natural kind of thing for us to pray in certain circumstances, for us to consult with brethren under certain circumstances, to study our Bibles under certain circumstances. And the natural response of a joyful heart is singing praises. Now, different people are musical in different kind of ways. You may not be one of these people that goes around with a song in their voice and a lilt in their step and this kind of thing. One of the great revelations to me, I haven't talked about my dad in a while, after my parents retired, and I'd go visit them, like we did just last week, I would notice that Dad was kind of walking around the house, going from room to room, going back to play solitaire, or going to sit in front of the TV or whatever it happened to be, and he was whistling. And Tracy may have actually pointed this out to me. Your dad's happy. And I never really thought about it. Growing up, that's not what Dad did. Dad just didn't go around whistling all the time. But he does now. And I think it's because he's much happier with his life all the retired folks here, they're starting to nod their heads. You understand what I'm talking about here. A lot of the burden is taken off of you. Maybe you've left a career that you weren't really super crazy about. And now you have arrived, as it were, and you're happy. And one of the most natural things in the world to do is to adopt music in some fashion. Maybe you sing. Maybe you sing in the shower or you sing in the car or whistle or whatever it happens to be. That's a good thing. That's a natural thing. Maybe for some people more than others. Well, if that's the case in a carnal sense, if that's the case in a physical sense, how much more so should it be the case for Christians? in a spiritual sense. That we go through every day of our lives as saved individuals. People who are bound for heaven. People who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. People who have had their sins forgiven. Who walk in fellowship. Who walk in light. Who walk in hope and peace. Doesn't joy just kind of naturally follow along with that? If you are living in hope and you're living in peace and you're living in prospect of eternity, then joy should be the most natural thing in the world for you. And if joy is, in fact, in your heart, the most obvious and perhaps easiest way for that joy to express itself is in songs. Well, what kind of songs? Well, if you're joyful because of spiritual things, stands to reason you'd be singing songs of a spiritual nature. And that's what we do as the people of God, or what we should do, I think. And I love the trend that where we have much more spiritual music on recordings these days for downloads or CDs or whatever your format happens to be, much more so than was the case with me. There's a lot more groups that do these kind of things, and your taste may lean to one side of the spectrum or the other side of the spectrum. But in whatever way it is, we are able to surround ourselves with spiritual music. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. And hopefully there's songs that are familiar enough to us where we can sing along with these songs. And how much better is that? That we can join voices with people we don't know, we've never met, probably never will meet, but draw closer to God and closer to our purpose. It's not exactly the same thing as, it's not the same thing, as coming together with the saints of God, worshiping, or what David writes or the psalmist writes in Psalm 100, but nevertheless the same basic concept. Shout joyfully to the Lord, the text says in verse 1. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. He is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his pasture and the his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We'll talk more about thanksgiving in a second. Not trying to spoil the ending too much for you here. But the idea of joy, of celebration, celebrating the fact that we are saved, that we are heaven-bound. That's something that we should not feel compelled by outside forces to sing. That's something that we ourselves are compelled because of internal convictions, because of our commitment to God, because of our inner sense of hope and well-being. Secondly, and again, we touched on this just a second ago, I think that there is an expression of thanksgiving that is central to what we're talking about. We just read Colossians 3 verses 15 through 17, three verses in a row that all talk about the giving of thanks in the context of spiritual things, particularly song worship, but not just song worship. The things that we do of a spiritual nature are done with an attitude of thanksgiving. Whatever you do, he says, in the word ordained, verse 17, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As we celebrate, as we rejoice in our spiritual status, perhaps the most basic reason why we're joyful is because of the things that God has given us, the things that God has done for us. And so the same motivation that moves us toward joy also moves us toward thankfulness. We are, at our core, grateful people. Now, I don't know, maybe you had the family, the kind of family where if the child was given a cookie by mom and dad, then the child jumped, you know, burst out in songs of praise for mom and dad. That didn't happen in my family. Probably didn't happen in your family. But nevertheless, we see in God's family a natural reaction for us to give thanks and to give thanks on a regular basis. And we usually think of that in terms of prayer, and that's appropriate. But many, many of our songs are also pointed in that direction as expressions of gratitude, expressions of thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Skipping a little bit further in the Psalms, in Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, and many, many of the Psalms are written along these same lines, especially in this general section of Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, Psalm 107, for he is good. For his loving kindness, or his mercy, is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, and the north and the south. This is what God has done for us, going through verse number 3 there. I just complimented Kylie today for thanking me for buying her lunch. Well, she's my child. You know, I buy her lunch a lot. I spend a lot of money on these children. Her mother does too. And she is good at saying thank you. Her sister is too. And That's a commendable kind of attitude. I don't say enough good things about my children up here, probably. Being thankful is a noble, good thing, and it should be praiseworthy. When we come before God, we come before God thankful for all of the things that He has done for us. And you know, I don't know how many of you have actually tried to count your many blessings like the song encourages us to do, but it's kind of awe-inspiring when you think about it. How many things God does for us, how many things there are in our lives for which we should be thankful, and most of which we really don't give a whole lot of thought to. We're thankful for, and sometimes the small children's Bible class teachers get this. When the kids get just about old enough to start praying, I don't know what age that'd probably be, 8 or 9, you know, maybe even earlier than that, 5. And, okay, well, Johnny, why don't you say the prayer? Okay. And all they know is thanks, right? That's all. Thank you for, and sometimes they do with their eyes open. Have you heard stories like this? You know, thank you for the pencils, and thank you for the walls, and thank you for the stickers, and thank you for, eventually they got to run to the teacher or for mom and dad or whatever. And they're just kind of, everything I see, I'm supposed to be saying thanks, and these are all things that I have, and so I'll say thanks for all these things. And really, that's not all that far removed from the attitude that we should have, isn't it? Because these things are the gifts of God. However they came to us, however much or how little we have of it, it is a blessing from God, and we should be thankful for the stickers and for the walls and all these kind of things. We take them for granted sometimes. Doesn't mean God didn't give them to us. And thirdly, getting a little bit deeper than this, there is a thoughtfulness that needs to be expressed in our songs. Some songs are more thoughtful than others. But when the text says, I will pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with the understanding also. I think we touched on 1 Corinthians 14:15 before. What he's actually talking about there, primarily, is an era of spiritual gifts where some people would get up, evidently, and sing a song by the power of the Holy Spirit, which may or may not be in the language of the day. It might be Greek, where most people would understand it. It might be some foreign language. And maybe they'd be interpreted there, maybe they wouldn't. But the whole point of a song service, the whole point of worship, is to draw us closer to God. And if there's no understanding there, then there's no point in that. Now, we have a lot of songs in our book that are extreme, you know, some of them 500 years old, for one thing. Some of them are written in very arcane kind of language. Some of them, the grammars kind of back and forth and back and forth. Some of them, the words just aren't really very good at all. And finding a thoughtful way to express ourselves is not always the easy kind of thing to do. And again, this comes back to song leaders, to help us choose songs to sing that have meaning there, meaning that we can grasp, meaning that we can understand. If we're going to be singing spiritually, we need to be singing with the understanding. And I frequently will encourage members, whether you're a song leader or not, to go through your songbook and look at the songs that we sing and examine these lyrics. And what exactly does this mean? Night with ebon pinion brooded o'er the veil. You know, that means it was dark, by the way. It's a lot more poetic and interesting to read when you read it the other way, but you may or may not understand that. Here I raise my Ebenezer as the classic example. What exactly is an Ebenezer? And we go back to the story of Samuel and this rock of help that was erected as a monument. Singing with the understanding, singing thoughtfully is very important, because the more we draw closer to God in these songs, the more we emphasize what God has done for us, the more we understand about what God has done for us, the more we appreciate all of these things. Lamentations 3. In verse number 22 and following, one of my favorite passages, I've talked about this passage a lot, it seems like, and we'll be covering it in our Bible class not too long from now. The Lord's loving kindness, verse 22, indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have you ever woken up and realized that God did not, in fact, bless you the day before? Or you don't see any signs or blessings on the horizon, that God somehow forgot about it? Forgot about you, forgot about us. No, God is faithful. God will be there for us always. You know, you're driving down the highway and you forget to turn your lights on. You know, you may get, you know, a horn honk behind you, or worst case scenario, you might get into a fender bender or something like that. If God forgot to turn the lights on in the morning, you can imagine how bad that would be. That would be we would not be able to function. It's never going to happen. God is faithful in all these things. His loving kindnesses, his mercies, his blessings never cease. And every day you could wake up, you could do this. This would be a great exercise for you. Wake up every day, and I'm not going to get out of bed until I find something to give thanks to God for that I haven't given thanks to for this week or this month. You could do that easily. This idea of finding thoughtful ways, deliberate ways, to express what God has done for us. And that goes back to the idea of joy and great gratitude also. These songs will help us, if we allow them to, if we do them properly, express what it means to be a child of God and remind us of how blessed we are in God's service. Now, that's enough of me talking about singing. What we're going to do is we're going to sing now. And I hope that this lesson hasn't helped at all. I hope that you were in the proper framework to worship God and to sing in the Spirit already without my help. But if you weren't, if you've been kind of mailing it in a little bit, you haven't really given a whole lot of thought to what we do here in our song service, maybe this has tweaked you a little bit, and it'll give us some opportunity here this evening with Brian directing us to not only sing these songs, which I believe are scriptural songs and good songs, thoughtful songs, but that will increase our appreciation for our sense of joy and our sense of gratitude and our sense of thoughtfulness that these songs were intended to inspire in us. And maybe that'll cause us to sing a little bit more enthusiastically, a little bit more thoughtfully. So pick up your songbooks if you want, or you can follow along with the songs up here. Brian will lead us in these songs.